Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Well, it's good to see you today, Calvary Church. My name is John Liggett. I'm a pastor from Compassion Church in Wichita Falls, Texas. And it is a joy and an honor to be with you today. And I just want to give a shout out to your pastor. You guys have the most amazing, wonderful, and let me even say it, funniest pastors I know. I get to spend a lot of time with Pastor Steve at different conferences. And every time that I get to see him, it's always a joy and an honor and a blessing. And most of all, he keeps me laughing. So today, let your pastor know how much you love him, because you've got an amazing pastor. And I thank God for what he's doing at Calvary Church. Today, I want to talk to you about the fruit of the Spirit. I guess if I could really give a title to this, it'd be called Unlocked. Unlocking the power of the Holy Spirit in you and the fruits of his Spirit and what it can not only do in your life, but in the life of those around you. When I was a kid, we lived in a parsonage and Falcon, North Carolina. And my dad, because we live in a parsonage, I don't know if you know what a parsonage is, they've really almost become extinct today, but it was a church it was a house owned by the church where the pastor lived. And we lived there for years. And finally, my dad decided he wanted to have something of his own. So just down the road from the house or the parsonage that we lived in as a kid, my father kind of bought an old rundown house. And beside that house was a field. Now, my dad had always said to us that if he had not been a pastor, he would have been a farmer. Now, my dad was a very honest man, had a lot of integrity, but I never believed him then because I don't know if he'd ever got out in a field and worked like that. But he bought this house, started renovating the house, and decided that in this field, my father had always planted a real small garden, maybe tomatoes or cucumbers, and I think half of those didn't make it. But because he had a garden in the backyard, well, he thought he could actually go and plant this big field. He had a farmer come by in town, plow up the field, and my dad went out there and decided to plant watermelons. So he threw watermelon seeds everywhere. You heard me right. Everywhere. Well, eventually, seeds grew, and that field was covered in watermelons. And when he did, well, it's funny, this man who said he was called to be a farmer, well, he didn't show up to pick the watermelons. That fell to his son, who at that time was, I don't know, I was probably about 12 or 13 years old, and I'm the one out there having to pick the watermelons. In fact, it was probably one of the worst moments of my life. To this day, I have a phobia of spiders. It's because of that field, because I pulled back a watermelon. There's a black widow, and it freaked me out. And I thought to myself, half of those watermelons didn't even get used. Most of them probably died in that field because there were so many of them. We had planted so many seeds and didn't realize how many seeds we had planted, and it produced such a harvest that we weren't quite ready when the harvest came. I want to tie that in today. If you'll look with me today at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And it said, the fruit of the Spirit. I want to stop there real quick. It said, but the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. We many times call it the fruits of the Spirit. That's inaccurate from the Word of God. It's not called the fruits of the Spirit. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Singular, not plural. Now, let me explain. If I plant an apple tree, and I say it's going to produce fruit, it's going to produce all the apples on the tree or the fruit of that tree. But when I use the word fruits, it would be more like I had a table with a whole bunch of fruits on there, oranges and apples and watermelons and cantaloupe. The reason why that's important, because just as I say fruit, referring to the fruit that an apple tree would produce, it's the same here. It's not fruits. In the area that I get to pick and choose which one is in my life. Just like that apple tree produces a whole bunch of apples, So does the Holy Spirit produce in me fruit, that I should have all of these fruit. In fact, it says this, for the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, forbearance, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I love what it says right here. Against such things, there is no law. I love that part because, in other words, many times we as Christians get caught up in the wrong thing. Instead of talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we'll talk about the manifestations of the Spirit, which they're important. We need those in our life. But I always say to someone, don't talk to me about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life if you have no fruit before you got the manifestation. Because you should love and have kindness and gentleness and self-control. In other words, if we talk about all the other things that can happen in our life as a believer, but we don't have fruit, it doesn't mean much. In fact, the Greek word here, karpos, actually means fruit plucked. In other words, when I got saved and the Holy Spirit came in my life, the fruit is there. It's in my life, but it's waiting to be plucked or to be used. Many times as believers, we don't understand what is inside of us. Remember my dad? He threw all those seeds out there. This is pre-Google. So because it's pre-Google, he probably just threw seeds and just threw them out in the field, not knowing how much seed that he had and the harvest that would come from it. So something in our life. Because of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, there's a fruit that comes from that Holy Spirit. And the problem is many times we don't pluck the fruit. We don't use the fruit. We don't exhibit the fruit. As believers, as men and women of God, they should see the evidence of Jesus in your life. They should see the evidence of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Just a few verses up in verse 19, Paul talks about there the works of the flesh. He says this in Galatians 5:19, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. He refers to the first as the acts or the works of the flesh, but he refers to the Spirit and what it gives as the fruit. In other words, the works is what I've got to work at. It's not in a good way. I'm the one who works at doing sexual immorality or doing adultery or impurities or debauchery or idolatry. I work at that. But the fruit of the Spirit is there. Not me, but what the Holy Spirit is doing in me and through me. I say this all the time. We as human beings, as believers, are conduits. We should be constantly being poured into and poured out of. The Holy Spirit is brought into my life through the Holy Spirit. But it shouldn't just stay in me. It should be evident by my life that the Holy Spirit is in me and in my life. We don't want to live by the works of the flesh, but by the fruit of the Spirit. I always say there's three parts of us as a human. There's the soul, our minds, our thoughts, our attitudes, our emotions. That's our soul. Then there's what we call the Spirit. That's what connects us to God. Then there's what we call the flesh. That's what connects us to the world, the sinful nature. But what we need to do as believers are we want to live by the fruit. We want that to be apparent in our life. We're connected to the Spirit. And if we're connected to the Spirit, then there's certain things that should be coming out of us. It tells us what those fruits are. It says the first one is love. The word love there in the Greek is the word agape, which means a selfless love. It means that we put others before ourselves. And the fruit of the Spirit that is in our life, as we share the fruit of the Spirit, as we share the love of Christ, we put others before ourselves, that we love others. And it's not about what we want or what we desire, but what he wants to do. In fact, 1 John 4:7 says this, dear friends, Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. In other words, God didn't just create love. If we were to talk about an ingredient, if we're making a favorite dish, we put different ingredients in there. One of the ingredients that make up who God is love. And if we claim to be believers, part of the fruit should be love. Another one is joy. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. If we look at that word there in the context of what it means, it's not just the idea of happiness. Yes, God wants us to be happy and God wants us to have joy in the way we think of it. But God also knows that happiness can be fleeting. Well, the word joy there actually means an inner confidence. Well, what's that got to do with joy? In other words, God says you have joy because in the middle of a bad situation or tragedy, what God is really saying to us is you still have joy. You have an inner confidence that everything's going to be all right. That God's going to bring you through this. And God's going to get you to the other side. That no matter what, God is with you and nothing's going to happen. In fact, Romans 15, 13 says it this way. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. The other word he uses is peace. Peace. The word peace here actually means to be restful or rest. I think of the story. Remember, Jesus was on the boat with the disciples. Storm came up. They're up on the top of the boat. They're freaking out. What are we going to do? What's going to happen? But yet Jesus is down in the belly of the boat and he's, I don't know if Jesus actually snored, probably not. But the disciples come down and say, how in the world can you be asleep with this storm and what's going on? How can you be at rest in the middle of a storm? Because see, Jesus had peace. He had rest. He could rest. How many sleepless nights have you had? How many times could you not go to sleep because you're worried about the next day or worried about what happened the day before? The Holy Spirit puts inside of us this peace that says you can rest because if you know God is for you, then who in this world could ever be against you? You have a peace that says even in the middle of a tragedy or in the middle of a tough situation or in the middle of a difficulty, I've got rest because I know my God is for me. He's going to work it out. This is going to pass. God is going to take care of me. Also said the fruit of the Spirit is forbearance. I hate that word. I don't like it. None of us ever use it. It's really another word for patience. And the word patience there, if you go to look it up, what it really means is perfect timing. Perfect timing. I always say this to the church. Don't ever pray for patience. God doesn't give you patience wrapped up in a box with a little bow and say, here you go. If you pray for patience, most likely God will take you through a situation in your life. A tough time that will make you learn patience. Because what is patience? Patience is trusting God's perfect timing. If I haven't got what I've been praying for, I believe in God's perfect timing that he will bring it when I'm ready. It says in Ephesians 4, 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm praying, I'm asking. I'm even desperate sometimes for what I'm needing. But God, if you haven't given to me yet, it means it's not time. If you haven't given it to me yet, it means I'm not ready. If you haven't given to me yet, that means whoever the other parties are that should be aligned with me in the middle of this situation, they're not ready yet. And God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe in you. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that your perfect timing is in my life because you're a perfect God who loves me with a perfect love. And when it needs to happen, you'll make it happen. Kindness. Kindness. That word there means to be gentle. Christians, we got to learn to love one another. Listen, you got to love everybody. The Bible says we love everybody. Even in fact, we love our enemies. But when people walk through the doors of the church, they need to find refuge. They need to find people that love them. They need to find people that care about them. And many times, we are tearing each other apart. We're being difficult. And what we need to learn in our life as believers is this, that we've got to be kind. When someone mistreats you, be kind. When someone does you wrong, be kind. See, whatever we try to fix in the natural will never work. But what we try to fix with God's supernatural power, God will always take care of. I'm going to be kind even when people aren't kind with me. I was just in a conversation just this week with a guy that had been talking and saying stuff, and I called and talked with him, and he was, well, not always being kind. And I had to say, John, no matter what, be kind. Be kind. Because if I will be kind, then God can step in the middle of this situation, in the middle of this argument, in the middle of this thing, and God can work it out. Goodness. The word there, goodness, literally means just to be good. To do the moral, decent, right thing. To do good means to follow what God's word says. It tells us in Psalms 23:6, I love this passage. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We usually use that sermon when it comes to a funeral. But see what he says, surely your goodness. If I'm living according to God's word, spending time on my knees in prayer, praising God, seeking to do the right thing, then God's goodness will follow me whatever I do and wherever I go, if I will do the right thing. Another word is faithfulness. That word faithfulness actually means to be or be faithful in faith. Matthew 25:21 says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will encharge you with many things. Come and share your master's happiness. In other words, if we'll be faithful with our faith, God, I'm going to do the right thing. God, I'm going to love others. God, I'm going to live according to your word. Then what God is saying is that God will take care of you and watch out for you. The word gentle, another word, as we said, being kind. Just being gentle with each other. Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle. Treat others with gentleness. Don't be harsh. Don't be mean. What you give out is what you get back. How you treat others. About, I will treat others the way I want to be treated. If I want people to treat me gentle and kind, then that's what I give. And here's the last one. It's tough. Self-control. It won't always come easy. It means to be temperate or be self-disciplined. Not driven by the sin nature, but driven by the spiritual being. To be more driven by your spirit than your flesh. So what does this mean? I want to tie this in as we talk about fruit. Number one is this, fruit takes time to ripen. Fruit takes time to ripen. Many times we don't understand that. Well, we make the comment, what is it? Practice makes perfect. When it comes to these nine gifts here, these nine fruit in our life, it won't always come easy. You have to work at them. You'll have to let the Holy Spirit work them in you, work them out of you. Practice makes perfect. I'm going to do everything I can to love others, to be kind to others, to be gentle with others. I'm going to do everything that I can to live by my faith in Christ Jesus. I will seek to be self-disciplined and have self-control. It'll take a while. You have to keep doing it. It takes time for fruit to ripen. But don't give up. And let me say this, even sometimes when you mess up, you lose your self-control, that you're not always gentle. You don't have to go back to the end and start all over again. You don't go back to the beginning of the line. You say, God, forgive me. I didn't use the fruit of the Spirit that should be evident and prevalent in my life. Forgive me, God. And from that moment start, and God, I would do better next time. And you'll probably mess up again and again. But with each time, it gets further between. With each time you learn the lesson, with each time I'm going to let the fruit inside of me by the Holy Spirit ripen and become better and better and better so I can be the person God has called me to be. Here's the next thing. Fruit produces nourishment. Fruit produces nourishment. If I go and eat fruit, it's good for me. I can't always say I'm the best at that. In fact, I'm usually eating a Twinkie or a Hershey bar or a Three Musketeers. And I'm eating probably steak and all these things, but I need to add more fruit in my diet. Why? Because it's better for the nourishment of my body. But to the doctor a while back, and he did some annual test on me, and he said my good cholesterol was bad, and my bad cholesterol was bad. It was just all bad. And I said, well, what do I do? Eat better. He said, more vegetables and more fruit. And I said, how about more Twinkies and how about more Hershey bars? And he said, no. I said, how about Cokes? No. Stay away from all of that. You need to eat more vegetables and more fruit. It's nourishment for your body. So is the fruit of the Spirit, nourishment for your soul. The more you practice allowing the gifts or the fruit of the Spirit to come out of you, the better it is for your soul. When you love others, it produces something inside of you. When you are gentle and kind with others, it does something to inspire your soul. I'm going to use the fruit of the Spirit in my life because it nourishes my soul and my spirit. What I feed becomes bigger, stronger, and more powerful. If I feed my flesh becomes stronger. But if I feed my spirit, it becomes stronger. If I were to feed my flesh more of the fruit from the earth, I would be better in my physical body. But if I will feed my soul and my spirit more of the fruit of the Spirit, I become stronger and stronger and stronger in my spirit. I love greater. I show greater kindness. I have more self-control. I am gentle. I have patience. The last one is this. Fruit reproduces itself. Fruit reproduces itself. Remember I told you earlier we're conduits. God is poured into us, and we're poured into others. I was looking earlier this week about some trees and how they grow. It said the butternut tree, it takes about 3 to 5 years to bear fruit. The beech tree bears fruit every 8 years. The white oak can take up to 10 years to bear fruit. See, there's a champion in the delay of producing fruit. It says that the bamboo takes up to 120 years to produce anything. Many of us as believers, we're like the bamboo. It takes us a lifetime to produce anything. But as a believer, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit that is inside of me when I receive the Holy Spirit, those fruits should be coming out of me. Not just evidence that I'm a believer, not just evidence that I've given my heart and life to Christ, but what it does is the seed that is in me, just like my father that was throwing seed all over that field and he had watermelon everywhere. The fruit of the Spirit that is in your life, when you begin to allow it to come out of you, then it begins to produce fruit in people around you. I'm having a tough time right now. My youngest goes to college Monday, and I'm not doing very well with it. Not very excited about it. I've got 3 kids, and I'm not very excited. We're going to be empty nesters, and if I can be honest with you, I don't know if I like my wife that much to be an empty nester. So y'all got to pray for me. In fact, my wife told me the other day, she said, when Avery leaves home, you're going to have to start taking me out places. I don't know if I can stay home with you. I don't know if I like you that much. So I know I'm going to have to go out and do stuff. But in my sadness the other day, I was reflecting. Blessed by my kids. I've got a son that works full-time at a church. I've got another daughter that wants to be a praise and worship leader. Then Avery, she's leaving to go to college, and she wants to be creative and do photography for church. And I thought, how blessed I am that if no one else received the fruit that God has planted inside of me, my kids have. That the other day, going through a car wash with my son, we were talking about something. And just out of the blue, I said, son, I hope that I raised you and your your two sisters right. I don't know if I always did the right thing, if I was always the best of fathers. And he said to me, he said, Dad, look at your kids. We're all in ministry. We all love Jesus. What more could you want? The seed that the Holy Spirit has planted inside of you, of that fruit, it should pour out of you. If I take this apple and I eat the apple and then throw the rest on the ground and it's fertile ground, those seeds can produce an apple tree. The same thing with you in your life. The seed of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that is inside of me, for that fertile ground, those individuals that are around me that are hungry, desiring, they are fertile ground. The fruit of the Spirit that is in me, if I will let flow out of me, it will fall in the fertile ground of those around me and produce fruit in them. I have a heart for lost people. This last week, we had 15 people saved in our church. That brings me greater joy than anything. And I believe because of the church that we have, we've created an environment that we want lost people to come to know Jesus. That's the fruit of the Spirit for us in this house. Here's my question. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Is there evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life? And even greater, are there those around you that are evidence that the fruit in you has poured out into them? We serve a great and mighty God that loves us, that wants to bless us, and wants us to live by the fruit that is inside of us. I used at the very beginning, unlocked. And let me tell you why. The Holy Spirit wants you to unlock the fruit of the Spirit inside of you, that you can become who God's called you to be. Do what God's called you to do. Live a life not just based on the natural, but on the supernatural. God wants you to be a producer. I say this all the time. We are farmers. Whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not, we are all farmers. Our life is planting seed. Here's the question. What kind of seed are you planting? Good seed or bad seed? Is it producing great things for the kingdom or doing things that make you look good? Which one is it? Because God wants you to use the fruit of the Spirit in your life to be who God has called you to be. I pray today that the Holy Spirit unlock His power in your life. Let us pray. Lord, I pray today that the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in the life of each and every man and woman that is there. Let them pray, seek, and ask for the fruit of the Spirit to be released in their life. I pray today, Lord, whatever may be holding it back, holding it down, keeping it from being used, I pray today in the name of Jesus Christ that, Lord, that would be broken, that lid would be taken away. And, Lord, today the fruit of the Spirit we poured out of their life into those around them. Lord, I pray today over this church, over this congregation. I pray for Pastor Steve and his wife that you bless them as the fruit, I know, as the fruit of the Spirit is being used in them. We love you, we praise you, we glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.